God. out this morning.
Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing, all ye bright host of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Yes.
Oh, come, let
no.
threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace, it is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace,
yes,
freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive?
Yeah.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
If you got Acts chapter number 20, say amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 20, I'm going to start reading at the 18th verse. Verse number 18, going to be reading down to verse number 27. Acts chapter number 20, I'm going to start reading at verse number 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and now knowing the things what that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, Father, we come before you, Lord, at this time. We thank you, God, for your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for your blessed hope, and we thank you, God, for all that you do. But God, we pray this morning, Lord, Father, for your utterance. We pray for your power. We pray, Lord God, that you help me, Lord, Father. I need your help, Lord, Father. I need, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, there's no psychological tricks, nor is it nor mesmerizing or great fairy tale storytelling. But Lord God, it's through and by the power of your Spirit, the demonstration, Lord Father, your word, Lord Father, the gospel whereby men must be saved. And Father, so I pray today, Lord, I am nothing, I am weak, but God, you are strong. And Father, I pray today for the utmost, Lord Father, that none of us would leave out of here unchanged. Lord Father, change us, Lord Father, in that which we should be. Change us, Lord God, that we might be more like we ought to be. Lord Father, not how we perceive our own selves or as others would perceive us, but God, the way that we should be, the way we ought to be. And Lord, in that being a reflection of who created us, God, we love you and we thank you, Lord Father. It's in thy Son's sweet precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading with me this day and praying with me. I covet the prayers of God's people. I want to preach on just one simple word today. I want to preach on something that I've often quoted it, but never looked at it this way. I'll be quite honest with you. I heard another man speak upon this for about 5 or 6 minutes, but it stuck with me. Couldn't get it shook off my mind. I want to preach on just the simplest of words, as I said, that I have quoted, maybe read, I don't know how many times, and read it here in the scriptures. I want to preach on a little bit of word called all. I want to preach on all this morning. Just three letters of the alphabet, A, L, and L. I want to preach on all. Here that we realize this in the scriptures, that the Apostle Paul, as I started reading, didn't know it until I got into the reading, how he starts off talking about all the things that he has done, how he kept back nothing, but he gave it all, preached everything, and get everything and let everything go that God had given him. And at the end, he says that I am pure of men's blood. What he was saying was, he said, I can't be found guilty in the eyes of God for not preaching nor declaring things unto you, because he says, I have given you all, given unto you all the counsel of God. Another place it talks about the whole counsel of God. But I want to preach on just those things all today. Just a little bit of all. And I got to thinking about all, and no doubt we could say, well, we all wouldn't know what all means. But when you take what it says in the scriptures and complete it or add to it the definition of what all really means, to me it opens up these scriptures where I find the word all inside. Everybody all right this morning? All is everyone, the whole number of particulars, the whole quantity, whole extent, whole duration, whole amount, whole quality or degree. As one definition puts it, it's the whole, entire, total amount. That means there's nothing left. There's nothing yet to add to it. That means all. Y'all hearing this preacher this morning? And can I say this today? I'm glad there's some things in Scripture where God's Word outlines all has been taken care of. All has been put in its place. All is true, and things that God has done. I'm glad the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, what God does forever. No man can add to it. No man can take from it. And though men have tried to add to it, and though men have tried to take from it, but it does not matter. It's still God done it forever. And I'm glad to know this. He done it that men might fear him. You say, preacher, why should folks fear God? Because the Bible says it is the beginning of wisdom. But I'm glad that he gave everything, and that is all. Can I get to the first place where God showed me something about the all? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26, it says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm glad to know this today, that though it might be impossible to me, and though in the less likely of the ability of my brain or to understand certain things, I'm glad it's not based upon my knowledge, nor it's based upon my understanding, but I'm glad because it's impossible with me, but I'm glad it's all possible with God. I've heard many people say, preacher, God can't, or I can't do it, man can't do it. No, he cannot, but I know a God who can. I'm glad today that I know for a fact that God can move mountains, and God can do things, and God can reach into places where man cannot reach. Can I say it's impossible for me to know what you're thinking in your heart? It's impossible for me to reach into the depths of your heart and pull out your process, or the things that you meditate on, or the things who you truly are inside your heart. But I'm glad the Bible says God knows all things. I'm glad he knows the depths of the man's heart. In this scripture, Matthew chapter 19, it's speaking about the rich man. The rich man had come to Jesus and said, what must I do to get eternal life? What must I do to have eternal life? And we preached on that here just a couple of services ago, how the rich man had come to Jesus and told Jesus, he said, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And this man, being a smart man, this man, being an intelligent man, this man, be a church-going man, he says, I know the commandments. I know honor thy father and thy mother. I know I shouldn't kill, and I know I shouldn't steal. I know all those things. I've kept them from my youth up. But he said, but go sell all thou hast and give it unto the poor. Because Jesus knew his heart, knew he was rich and he had great wealth. And that man was sorrowful. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke unto his disciples and said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples said, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Can I say it's this morning, though we may try, and though in the best of our ability we're trying to get to a place in life where everything seems to be hunky-dory, we want to get to the other side where the grass is greener. I'm telling you, it's impossible with man, but it surely is possible with God. Some people might say, preacher, how can I get saved? How can I get saved? How can I get saved? The best thing for you to do is give it all to God. It's possible with Him. It's impossible for you to do it all on your own. Can I say today, I'm glad Brother Scott Strunk that when I don't see a way, he still says, there is a way. I'm glad to know this, that when somebody says, it ain't going to get no better, I'm glad God can make it better. And some people might say, well, preacher, you don't know who I am. No, but God knows who you are. With men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There's not one thing, there's not one matter, there's not one problem. There's not one I, there's not one T that has yet to be dotted or crossed that man cannot get to, that God cannot get to. I'm glad God can get to them. I know it's hard to understand. I know it's hard to fathom in our mind. I can't quite understand it neither. But when Mary was told by Peter, or by Gabriel, Gabriel told her she's going to be with child. She said, how can I be with child, seeing that I have never known a man? And Peter or Gabriel said unto her, he said, Mary, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I've never walked on the water, neither have I. But Peter walked on the water. But Peter didn't make it possible. It was Jesus that made it possible. I'm glad it don't matter how high the mountain, how deep the cavern, how wide the valley, it's possible with God. Can I say this here today? You might be here and you might be depressed. You might be discouraged. You might be upset. You might be in doubt. You might be mad. You might be furious over a situation and circumstances in your life. And you've tried. You've worked. You've tried. You've meditated. You've prayed. You've planned. You've researched. You've Googled. You've Wikipedia'd everything. But you can't find no relief and you can't find no help. Can I tell you, with you, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Can I say this morning? All things are possible. Y'all hear this, preacher? All things are possible. Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Amen. If I didn't believe that Gary, all things were possible with God, I wouldn't believe. Either He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. I'm glad all things are possible with God. Amen. I feel good this morning. The second place I go to is in Psalm chapter number 8 and verse number 6. And the psalmist writes and says, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. I'm glad all things are under the feet of Christ. I'm glad all things are under the feet of God. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I've faced an enemy. I've faced a Goliath in my life. And I'm telling you, I'm scared plumb to death and I don't know what to do. I'm facing up against an individual or organization or a concept or a mindset and I just don't know what to do. Well, can I give you a piece of help? That same God who can make all things possible has got all things under His feet. Amen. There's not no one equal with God. There's not one above God. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad to know today that when I can go to God, there's not one problem in my life that's bigger than mightier than Him. I'm glad no matter the situation, the circumstance, it's not bigger than my God. I've heard people say you ought to tell your problem that you're big, the problem that may seem big unto you, that you've got a bigger God who can handle the problem. I've heard people say, preacher, I'm facing a Goliath. I'm facing a giant of a situation. Yeah, but it's not bigger than our God. I'm glad all things are under His feet. Some people say, preacher, are you scared about the government? No, because they're under God's feet. Are you scared about ISIS? No, because they're under God's feet. Are you scared about the Muslims? No, they're under God's feet. Are you scared about the illegal aliens? No, they're under God's feet. Are you afraid Hillary Clinton's going to get in the office? No, because she's under God's feet. Are you afraid Donald Trump's going to get in the office? No, because he's under. Y'all hearing this preacher this morning? Some of you may have fretted all week long. Some of you may have been scared all week long. Some of you probably went and investigated and got on the internet and looked up guns and security systems and doomsday prepping. But can I tell you, it's already been prepared if you take all things to God, because they're all under His feet. Amen. That's right. I've heard people say, well, preacher, you're just pie in the sky. Everything's just hunky-dory. No, it is not. If you've walked a mile in my shoes, and I'm telling you, you meet up with me after church, I'll give you my boots. I'll let you walk a mile in my boots. I'll let you walk a day or so in my life with the memories that haunt me, the situations and circumstances that came my way where men have killed other men because of things
that's happened in my life, and women have killed other women for things that's happened in my life, but I didn't sit there and dwell upon it. I didn't sit there, Sister Becky, and cry over it. What'd you do, preacher? It was either me go nuts or give all things to God, because it's under His feet. And I'm telling you, I can speak not only from the Bible, but I can speak from experience, and now I can speak from assurance. All things are under His feet. Preacher, you haven't had to deal with cancer. Yes, I have. Preacher, you haven't had to deal with Alzheimer's in your family. Yes, I have. Preacher, you haven't had to deal with anybody coming against your family. Yes, I have. But I have found when I've given it to God, He makes all things possible. He brung up my hands in victory. And I'm glad all things are under Him. Y'all hearing this, preacher? I mean, it'd do us a bit of good to realize that not only if we're saved, but everything, since it's under His feet, that means it's can be placed under our feet. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I'm not as strong as you are. It's not about your strength in here. It's not about your strength and your physical capabilities. But it's about the faith that God's placed in your heart. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. For you must believe that He is who that He is. And He's a rewarder of Him, of them that diligently seek after Him. My Bible tells me, seek and it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and it may be found. Knock and it may be opened unto you. I'm glad to know this today. There's not one circumstance, situation, or matter that's not all under His feet. Oh, hearing this, preacher? The next place I find some awe is in Romans chapter number 8. I want to continue on in Romans chapter number 8. If you'd like to read there with me, I wanted to get to these scriptures especially, because I've always read these scriptures, I've quoted these scriptures, but I never got quite upon these scriptures. And the one thing about these scriptures that I did not realize, and it hit me like a ton of bricks when I was reading them today. In Romans chapter number 8, starting at verse number 35. I don't know how many times I've been called out. I don't know how many times I've been said things to. I mean, how many times people has tried and tried and tried to accuse me or say things about me. And some things may have been true, the things that I may have committed. But Sister Jeree, I'm glad I gave it to God and He made it possible that I could be forgiven. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, it said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now notice He didn't say, who shall make us perfect? Who shall ever make us sinless? Who shall make us the smartest thing that ever walked? But He said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ, Brother Ron? I'm glad love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, you can do anything you want to me, but don't separate me from the love of Christ. Ever since I felt the love of Christ, I'm a brand new man. I feel like taking me a running fit here in a minute. But it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's saying no matter what comes your way, you're more than a conqueror for all things that comes against us. I'm glad none of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. I'm glad none of those things can take Christ's love away from us. And I'm glad that in all things we're more than a conqueror. I've had some people and some of you come to the church and your hands are hung down low and your knees are knocked together and your face looks like a mule and your ears are parted sideways because you're depressed and you're struggling over a situation. Friend, I'm not trying to badmouth you. I've been there, but I want to help you this day. The Bible says, lift up the hands that hang down low and strengthen the feeble knees. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And that means all things that come against you, you can stand up through Christ and lift up both hands and say, I've got the victory. Anybody hearing this preacher this morning? I'm about to have myself a fit up here, and I feel like I'm the only one getting this morning. I mean, if you've been in some situations and the doubts and the fears that I've had in the last couple months, and I've sat there and said, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And all I hear is crickets chirping. And all I hear is crickets chirping. And I'm like, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I'm a looking. And I can't find Him nowhere. But Sister Becky, when I opened up the Bible and I read that scripture, it says all things. I'm talking about the whole entire sum, the entire amount, the whole quality and degree and duration and extent, the quantity and the quality. All of it is under the feet of Christ. So with that being said, stay in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. And we say this all the time. But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, how many of us, can I just indulge here for a second? If God being my helper, how many of us have said, no, we'll never get past this storm. We'll never get to the top of this mountain. This is the one that just might do us in. This is the time when we wipe out totally. This is the time when we'll quit. This person's doing this and that person's doing that. This person's done this and this person's done that. They don't like me. They don't love me. And I'm not getting the things that I want to get. Can I tell you, the Bible says all things work together to the good. That means it don't matter what's going on in your life. It don't matter if the boss is threatening to fire you. Your friends are going to unfriend you on Facebook. The cell phone company cuts off your cell phone. Gas gets to $6 a gallon. And you're driving a diesel and there's no more diesel to be found. And there's so much stuff around. You can't get out of your house. People's got it surrounded. I'm telling you, the Bible says all things work together for the good. Preacher, but what if I don't like the person who gets into office? It don't matter. God's going to mean it for you good. What if a so-and-so does something against me? It don't matter, because God meant it for your good. I don't know how many times people quit church and how many times people walk out in the rag because they didn't get their way. And said, I thought for surely I followed God. I thought for surely God was helping me. But it didn't work out that way. Well, I'm telling you, friend, it is going to work out that way. Because God cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. All things are possible with Him. All things are under His feet. We're more than a conqueror through Christ over all things. And all things work for the good. For them who love God. Is anybody hearing this, preacher? Should I just stop right there? Should I just quit? I don't think it's helping. Is anybody here getting any help besides me? Is anybody here getting any help? Should I just quit and go on home? And I got some more things I want to give, Brother James. I got some more things God wants me to tell some people today. And if you want help today, if you want something from God today, He's not keeping nothing back, but He'll give it all to you. Amen. Amen. I'm about to dance me a jig. Why? Because even though compared to somebody else, I'm nothing. But I'm glad to Him, I feel like I'm His only child. Amen. The Bible says all things. So stop letting your troubles, stop letting the trials, stop letting other people, stop letting them defeat you. Stop giving up your victory. Stop saying I quit. Stop saying I can't go on. Stop doing those things. I know it's hard to do. I've tried. Sometimes, Brother Scott, I still say I quit. And sometimes say I'm never going back. And sometimes I said I'm lost with the whole thing. I don't know how many times here lately we about went Amish down in Kentucky. I don't know if you can go Amish in Kentucky or not, because most people like Amish down there. But I thought about just leaving society and leaving the grid, finding myself a holler somewhere and finding me a little old shack and put a buck stove in it and tell all them boys to go find me something to eat. I was going to quit on everything. But God said, Jason, I never quit on you. Why are you going to quit on me? And besides, know this and put it in your heart. It's not just words. It's not just paper. It's not just ink. And it's not just a scripture that we can quote to wear it out. But it's a scripture that we can place in our heart. It says, all things work together for the good. I don't know how God's going to do it. I can't see at the end of the day. I can't see at the end of the week. But I'm glad there's one who does. And I've found out every time, everything has always worked out to my good. Some of you here today, it has done some good for some folks that you could have stood up and said, yes, preacher, you wouldn't believe the week that I had, but I'm glad God was there with me. You say, preacher, I don't see God. That's exactly right. God is not a man. Somebody say amen right there. The Bible says God is a spirit. I've often said, and that preacher said it so good last Sunday. He said it so good last Sunday. He said, how can some people get saved and say God moved into their heart and say, but they don't know He's there. But if somebody moved in their house, they know if somebody ate their food and got in their bed and used their shower and their commode. I'm telling you, when God moved in, I felt Him. I feel the love of my wife. I feel the love of my kids. I feel the love of this church. And I feel the love of God. By the way, He said all things work together to the good. Can I say this? There is one thing that we need to do. And that's the Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 14. We'll say these and one more. And we'll get to what God wants us to do. And this is all just opening introduction. But it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, do all things, without murmurings and disputings. Michelle, I'd love to put my name right there and say, amen, I do that. But I don't. See, preacher, right there, you flawed. Exactly right, I'm flawed. That's why I need God. That's why I need Him. Everybody's flawed. But it says to do all your things without disputing. Remember, I don't have anybody else here, but I was raised up this way, and I find myself doing it. Man, that wrench slips, busts your knuckles on something under the hood. Next thing you know, the wrench is flying out of the garage and into the yard. Somebody say amen right there. I know you men ain't going to say amen right there because your kids will tell on you if you say you didn't do it. That's right, James, old me. I don't know how many times mama might be doing something and the kid leave a toy in the floor and they step on it and squall and get so mad and start hollering. But mama was the one who bought the kid the toy. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, grandma, blame on grandma. But can I say this today? Y'all look at me. We all complain. We all get upset. We all pitch a fit, what we call it. Taking fit, pitch a fit. But the Bible says do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? Do without complaining. Why? Because there's some people who would love to do the things that we're complaining about, but they can't. No doubt there's people that can't move or can't do nothing. No doubt there's people who would love to turn back time and start life anew, but they can't. And I know a lot of people say, well, that life is unfair. You better believe life is unfair. But if we do it all without complaining and disputing, I went to Tractor Supply over there. Somebody say amen on Tractor Supply. I felt something on Tractor Supply. It's a good place to shop. And I bought something for Tammy's birthday, and I was wanting to buy her a lawn tractor, but I know she wouldn't. She'd think that was for me. But as I was checking out, and the man says, how's it going, sir? I said, I'm doing. He said, how you doing, sir? I said, I'm doing a whole lot better than I deserve, doing better than good. I said, I ain't going to complain. I didn't say I couldn't complain. I said, I ain't going to. He said, wouldn't do no good because nobody's going to listen to you anyway. And ain't that the truth? You start complaining about 5 seconds into your complaint, that person's like tuning you out, and they're just in there nodding their head. I mean, you can tell them you're weed-eating the chimney on the roof. You can tell them you're pulling up weeds out of the gutter and planting tomatoes, and they're sitting there nodding their head. They done turned you out. And sometimes we complain about things, and really we shouldn't be complaining. It doesn't mean things ain't rough and things ain't tough, but it just means that we need to do it without complaining. And here's the reason why, at least the next verse in 2 Peter chapter, or 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7, it says, cast all your cares. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. How many times have we kept them cares to ourselves? How many times we've bared the burdens ourselves? How many of you have walked in this church and you know you should have gave them to God? You know you should have laid them on an altar and you said, God, I'm giving you this and I'm walking away. How many of you should have put your kids on the altar and you didn't? You've tried to carry them yourself. Kids, how many times have you put your parents on the altar and you didn't? You try to carry them yourself. How many times have we taken situations and circumstances and said, I'm going to do this? And the whole entire time, we should have gave our care unto God. I've heard people all the time say, I don't think God cares for me. You're wrong. You're wrong. He cares for you. He loves you. And so many times people don't realize when they keep the care, and the first thing that happens is bitterness starts creeping in. I've heard bitterness and revenge like to walk hand in hand together. And what bitterness and revenge is that you want to poison somebody, and instead of you giving it to them, you drink it yourself to see if it works, and it winds up killing you before it kills the person that you're upset and want to complain about. He says, cast all your cares upon Him. And you said, preacher, why should we cast all our cares upon Him? Because the Bible says He cares for me, one, and two, all things are possible with Him. Three, they're all under His feet. Four, He'll raise up my hands in victory. Five, because all those things work together to my good. The whole entire sum, the whole entire circumstance, the whole entire situation, all, give it to God. Cast all your care. This is the part that I wanted to speak to, and then I'll hush. 2015, my heart breaks. I worry.
don't know how many people I've wondered about this, and it's scary to me. It's scary. How many people say they love God and they're a believer of God, but their life don't reflect it? Don't get me wrong. You may look at my life and say, your life don't reflect it neither, preacher. Well, that's the reason why I'm trying to get all me out of the way and let him shine through. Because I do know this, that God loved us so much that he gave his son, his only begotten son, gave him to the whole entire world. Now, since I believe God is that big and powerful, he had to know that most of the world was going to reject him. And someone might say, that's stupid for him to do. It may be in our eyes, but the reason why he did it is because he loves us. And he cares about us. And he sees so many things in the world taking us farther and farther away from him. And more the cares of this life are choking out God. And more the burdens and the cares of this life is weighing heavy upon our hearts. There's more people now prescribed on medication because so much of life has gone the wrong way. I'm not talking like for heart problems, but I'm talking for mental problems and stress and aches and pains brought on by the cares of the world. And I'm not saying that all you got to do is pray. I'm not like in the crazy wacko. So just pray and your kid's arm being cut off. Just pray that an arm's going to grow and God done bless you with doctors that can sew it back on. Somebody say amen right there. But so many times we don't take the cares to God because we just don't see the need to. I wonder if we love him as much as we say we love him. Because my Bible tells me in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. How many of us has made promises and not kept them? I'll raise my other hand for you. But he's not slack. He keeps his promise. And said, some men count slackness, but he is long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then why don't all of them come, preacher? I don't know. And the next verse says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 14, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Preacher, how come folks don't get knowledge? How come some folks don't get the truth? I don't know why. Explain to me how that some people get this and some people get that, and some people who do bad gets good and some people who do good gets bad. I can't tell you why. Some people like to try to figure it out. I'm not going to figure it out. Because here's the one thing I do know for sure, is that all those things are under God's feet. And I've said before, I don't know how to put it into words. I can't explain it. Some of you may think I'm crazy. But God did something in my life before I got saved, because at the age of 27, I went looking for him. I went saying, are you real? Are you true? I didn't do it for 30 minutes. I didn't do it for 40 minutes. I did it for weeks. I did it for days. I did it for months. I wanted to know the truth about something. I didn't want to know it up here, flip it up in my head and say, I know. I needed something to know deep down on the inside that nobody else wanted to find out for me. The only way I could find out was for myself. And I had to go seeking God. And I found out, Sister Debbie, that all things, all of them, if he was able to take care of some of them folk back then, all of them folk that put their hope and trust into him, he could do it for me. Amen. The Bible says, the day that you seek him with your whole heart, that's all your heart, the Bible said he'll be found with you. The problem is, too many people don't want to seek him with all their heart. You are hearing this, preacher? I was guilty of it. Sister Shirley, I sought after him because I wanted him to prove himself to me. Well, he didn't have to prove himself to me. He's still God, whether I believe it or not. But I found out that the blessing, and that wasn't coming from him, that's coming from me. What I found out was is he's a whole lot more than what people said. All them people that come to me and told me all those things about God, Brother Eddie, the half was only told. Isaac, when I gave him all of my life, he gave me all of his love. When I gave him all of my life, he said, Jason, all of heaven is yours. Since I gave him all of my life, he says, you're joint heirs with my son, Jesus Christ. Everything's mine is yours. I said, God, I ain't got much, but here it is. He said, I'll take it. Because what you're giving in exchange is going to so far out surpass your knowledge and thinking. I wonder today, Sister April, if you would, can I get you to come back to piano and just play Amazing Grace soft on the piano? And sis, when you hear, just start playing. I wonder today, since God will give all these things and take all these things, I wonder if you've given him all yourself. Even when I was young, when video games first came out, I'd give all my time playing those games. I'd give everything I'd get. Give it all to know them games. And I watch my kids, they'll be playing some of those video games. They give all that they have to learn that game, to find out that game, to find how to win it, Give all themselves to it. When I started deer hunting, started squirrel hunting, I gave all everything I had to it to find out what it was. I want to know everything. Gutting and dragging, all the hard work that no one told me about. Vicky, I just thought it was sitting in the tree stand holding a bow waiting for Bambi to jump out. And the first time I killed one, is all the work began. You had to drag it and you had to care for it and make sure it was taken care of and all that other stuff. Sometimes we want to know just a little bit, and all we want just a little bit, it's like a vaccination. Just give me enough of it, but keep me from getting all of it. But God says, I want it all because I'll give you all. The whole amount, all of it, the total sum, all the quality, all the quantity, all the particulars, all the side notes, everything he'll give you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, you may come also. And I know he's speaking of a place in glory, but he also spoke of a place called Calvary. He went to Calvary before anybody else could go to Calvary, and he gave his life upon Calvary for the sin of all mankind. And he paid the debt of sin for all mankind. From the good ones that we think are good, to the bad ones that we think are bad, to the ones that ever existed, and to all the ones that ever will. He gave his life for all, that all might be saved. Because God don't want all to perish or any to perish, but he wants all to repent. He wants all to be saved and all to know the knowledge. I wonder today how many here, if you was to admit it openly, I'm not asking you to do it, how many times if you've complained or how many times you've been worried or how many times you've fretted because you didn't trust God for all. I've been there. He's not mad at you. He wants you to cast all your care on him. How many of you here who's not really saved, but you're going through the motions, you're trying to blend in, you're trying to carry the Bible, you're trying to know the songs, you're trying to wear the clothes, you're trying to blend in, you want to be a part of something, but you never gave him your all? He's not mad at you. He just wants you to give him your all. I've never found one person who gave all to God that God didn't give all back. I've often said this, and some people don't agree with me, but I got enough Bible. You've got all the faith you need in this life. Bible says he'll give you a measure of faith, but then from then on it says you must believe by faith, not by sight, but by faith. That's what Paul said. He'll keep you by that faith. Give him all. He'll give you all.